Good morning, everybody. We're so glad that you were able to make it out on this pretty day. I know the kids are loving the weather, and so I hope you have been able to enjoy a little bit of it and that we can come this morning and sing and worship together. We have a birthday that's coming up on soon. Roger's birthday's coming up, so if you would just remember him on Tuesday and call him and, you know, give him some loving, because we give him loving now, and I'd probably sing to him, but, you know, unfortunately I can't sing. So, Roger, you got off lucky there. I will not sing to you, and then you can't blackmail me because it's on tape. So, but if you would just remember him on Tuesday, I know he would love that. We're going to open with a word of prayer, and then the worship band will come in after that. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for who you are. Thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you that we can see new life growing and as spring comes, and that we can just celebrate you. Thank you that we can come into your house and we can sit at your feet and just worship you and hear your word. Lord, just be with all the different services that are going on, Lord, and just protect everyone, Lord, and keep everyone healthy. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here this morning. Sure missed the normal. We're here and we're going to praise God in song this morning. So let me hear your voices. Season, so if I cut out, just keep going.
Trusting in my Father's word. child and treasure. Tis a charge that on himself he laid. As your dangers and he'll be in measure. Tis the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation. Though you trust your promise to the Lord. That I lose.
Now we need to stand up.
Amen.
Stand up and turn up the volume.
It's not my life to live. It's not my song to sing. Faithfulness.
standing. We need help on this one.
Thank you.
thank you so much that we can be here and sing your praises and lift your name up on high, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are in control of everything. You are the God of all. You are the King of all. And for those who love you, you will never leave them and never forsake them. Lord, these are tough times we're going through right now, but in you we have no fear, because we know that even to the ends of the earth, Lord, that you will be with us. It seems them days are getting closer, Lord, and we pray that this country would humble ourselves and repent and follow you again, Lord, that you would give us a little more time to bring the lost to your saving grace. Lord, we know that the day is coming, and it's coming soon, and we ask that you help us and give us the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to proclaim it to so many who need to hear it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for our freedoms here. Help us to protect them freedoms. Bless us and our families. Bless everything we do, Lord, that we do it with you first, Lord. Thank you so much for this morning. Bless the sermon. Bless all those who couldn't be here this morning. Be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back with you. If any of you are like me, you've been filled with a lot of anticipation lately, anticipating an end to this pandemic and a return to normalcy. It makes perfect sense to feel this way. I've been looking forward to seeing you all in person, and I'm also looking forward to the day when I can shake your hands again or give you a hug. Looking ahead to better days is a good thing. It keeps us grounded in truth and in hope. Paul writes about this in the book of Romans. Romans 8:18 through 23 says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. As we take communion this morning, I hope that you look beyond the current circumstances with an eternity-focused mindset, that you await Christ's return with eagerness each and every day.
It is great to see more people here this morning. And for our prayer time, I have a note here from Don Fisk. Bob Heller, a brother, have a praise. Has been released from rehab, continuing to improve with a long way to go yet. Then I have a couple from Diane Keller. Rosie, her friend, who has had very bad case of the shingles, not quite over it yet, but doesn't want to be back on the prayer list. She said your prayers were very much appreciated and feels blessed. Prayer for her. Still continue to pray for her, but I'm sure our prayers is why her shingles was a lot better. Then Judy DeLong, daughter-in-law's mom, to Cameron Hospital, Angola, blood clot, heart rate 48, trouble breathing, so we have to have her in our prayer. And then we have one from Mike and Anita, Sharon Leibensparger, Anita's sister, admitted to the Angola Hospital Saturday. She is very ill. They are treating her for an infection. Her kids are not able to see her since yesterday afternoon. Please pray for God's will in Sharon's case there. And then I do have a little update on my sister. She took a backward spell this week, and she got all mixed up, and her white blood cell count went way down from her treatment. But then they gave her an IV and got her back going, and she talked to her, and she's back. So hopefully she makes it through these next couple weeks, 3 weeks, and then they'll decide whether they want to do surgery on her or not for that. But let us go to prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you we can be together as our church family, dear Lord. Pray that this virus will continue to go away, dear Lord. We know you are going to control all this, dear Lord, and we just lay it in your hands and pray that we can get back together and see our little ones here too also, dear Lord. We love you so much and thank you that you protect our families, dear Lord, each and every day, each and every week. And pray that you especially be with these ones we talked about on the prayer list here. be with our sister Sharon, because she's close to our hearts, dear Lord, had been in this church for many years, and pray that you watch over and care for her, her family, her sisters, watch over and care for all of them, and be with these mother others we talked about. We love you so much, and pray that you be with Jeremy as he brings us our word at this time. Be with Jonathan, dear Lord, that those youth can get back together and learn from your word and enjoy fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day.
Good morning. As you know, we have been walking through the book of Ephesians, and we've looked at what it means to be the church. Because in the midst of all this crazy pandemic, we've had to ask that question. What does it mean to be the church? Because if a church building is closed, does that mean church is closed? Does that mean that we're running from the enemy? Does that mean we don't trust? What does it mean to be the church? So we've walked through the book of Ephesians, and we've looked at what it means to be the church. And we're going to finish that book today. We're going to go with the closing verses of chapter 6 in Ephesians. So if you would turn to there, and I hope you join us again, because next week we're going to start the book of Daniel, and we're going to look at what it looks like to be an outsider. Because Daniel was an outsider, and yet he stood strong. And so we're going to take that journey, begin that journey next week. So if you would, open to Ephesians chapter 6. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory for who you are. We thank you that you are God. Thank you that there is nothing that will ever surprise you. It will catch you off guard, that you have to come up with another plan. But everything's been laid out, that you've provided ways, that you have provided protection, that you have provided hope. Most of all, you've given Jesus, that we could have forgiveness, that we could come and we could sit at your feet and we could hear your word. Lord, as we sit now, Lord, open our hearts and minds to your truth. Let your word be heard, not anything written on this paper, Lord, or anything that I have to say, but let you be heard. Let your son be glorified. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen. As we begin this, let us remember where we've been. We started chapter 4, changed gears, in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4 began to look at not who the church was, but what is the responsibility of the church. How does the church act? And if you remember, the key phrase in chapter 4 was walk according a way worthy of your calling. And we looked at that, what that looks like. It looks walking in humility, walking in unity, that we have one Lord, one God, one baptism, that we need to work together. Yes, we're different individuals. We come from different backgrounds. We have different spiritual gifts, but we are the body. And the body, if anyone in here, we only have one body. Sometimes our bodies don't work like they should, or we have shoulders and it's like I wish my arm would work with the rest of me, but it seems to have a mind of its own right now and it hurts. It works against each other, but we have one body. And when our bodies work together, we feel healthy, we feel good. So we as a church need to work together as the body. We moved into that. What does that look like? Chapter 5 and part of chapter 6 looked that unity looks in submitting to one another. And that submission first is that we are under this cross. There's nobody here that was worse off than the other. There's nobody that's better than the other. Christ came and saved us all, and we are unified in that. But in that unity, there's a hierarchy of of roles. There's husband and wife role. There's parent and child role. There's master and slave. But in today's terms, it would be working with our coworkers, working with our bosses, or working with our employees. And so he looked at that, and we looked at how that if we want the body, if we want the church to run smoothly, we have to look at the leadership. We have to look at our own lives and say, how are our families running? Are we as Christians, do we come into the church only to bring God the glory in the church? Or behind closed doors, do we bring God the glory? Do husbands teach? Do they encourage their wives? Parents, do they lift up their children? When we go into the office place, do they know that we're Christian? Because if these three things are under God's authority, if they are working to bring God glory, then when we come as a body, as we are now, this runs smoothly. Because our lives are all about Jesus, not just a Wednesday, not just a Sunday thing. So Paul moves into that. He wants us to take that because here's the thing. What are we dealing with? Look to your left and look to your right and you'll see what you're dealing with. We're dealing with people. And that's hard. That's hard. So Paul wants us to be reminded of what we're about. And he starts in verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Let's look at that a minute. Let's break that down because we're the body and we're in a war. We have to realize that we are in a war. But it's not a war against flesh and blood. It's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And here's the cool thing about the Bible. The Bible will always mirror itself. This mirrors another battle. A spiritual battle. It goes back to the book of Joshua. Because what does God tell Joshua? When they're starting this battle, when they're starting to cross to that promised land, you're going to run into people, you're going to run into attitudes, you're going to run into everything. Same thing we run into. Except fortunately we don't have to kill each other. But we run into these things. It's going to look physical, but that's not what it is. It's spiritual. And the first things that Paul wants us to remember is first to be strong. We're not talking about strong as in strength, because I'm far from being strong. I will run before I will fight. I think I would let Aaron go before me because he's bigger and meaner looking than me. I'm out. I'm gone. I am not strong, but that's not what he's talking about. Strong here is to be able to withstand a great force. You have to be able to hold your ground. But what is this ground we're holding against? We're holding against the spiritual attacks, the spiritual wickedness. We've got to be able to resist and to say no. We hold tight on to resist the devil and he will flee, but are we strong to resist? Because the devil's not just going to flee because you say so. You have to resist, push back, be strong. But what is this strength? It's not my power. It's not your power. And we see that in Scripture because what happens in the book of Acts, these people, they come along, they claim to be Christian, and they look at this demon-possessed man and they say, in the name of Jesus, get out. And these demons look at these guys and they're like, we hear in the name of Jesus. We don't like the name of Jesus. But you know what? We know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you? We don't know you. They were not strong. And those guys got beat. Those demons jumped these guys and they got beat. Because they were relying on their power. Because it says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in His might. And it goes back to the book of Joshua. What was Joshua told? Chapter 1, verse 6 of Joshua says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I being God, swore to their fathers to give them. I promise this. I'm going to make it happen. You be strong and courageous. And we'll get this done. He goes on further down to verse 7. What does he say in verse 7? He says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. He doesn't say, rely on your weapons, rely on your battle strength. Look to the law that I gave, that Moses spoke to you. Look to that, and you will succeed. Again, pointing to God. And then finally, in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as we walk through Joshua, if you remember, every battle that they went against was not simply a sword, hand, combat, death, I win. Because when they did that, what happened? They got their butts beat and they ran away. But when God said, okay, here's how we're doing this, here's how I want you to fight this battle, they won every time. And every time that they did it God's way, it made no sense. Walk around a wall, split your armies up, run to the enemy, and then turn around and run away. What? It made no sense. But when they did it God's way, when they kept God's commands in front of them, when they let God do the battle, they won every time. So how are we supposed to stand strong? How are we supposed to stand in His might? It says put on the whole armor of God. Not parts, but the whole. And why do we need the whole armor of God? Why is not part of it enough? And here's why that it's not enough. The King James Version that you heard a minute ago says, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness. And that mirrors chapter 1 of Ephesians. Ephesians says that Jesus has power over principalities, powers, might, and dominion. You see, this is a hierarchy of demons. It's not simply we're going against the devil. The devil has a hierarchy. One commentator put it this way, that because we don't fight against flesh and blood, we fight against generals, commissioned officers, special forces, the fifth column spies of the dark side, against the demonic rank and file warriors of evil who populate the atmosphere. It's not just a simple, I'm going to stand to you and I'm going to tell you to get lost. Think about the army and all of those rankings. When it's serious, who do they send in? They send in the special forces. The commanders are giving the orders. That's what we're fighting against. We need to open our eyes and see what this battle is really about, because the key phrase here is we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You see, the relationships that we looked at in chapter 5 and part of 6, husband, wife, parent, child, master, slave, are relationships that is vile to the enemy. The enemy hates them. He wants to destroy them with everything that he is. Why? Because they bring glory to God. They were established by God. And anything that has something to do with God, He wants to destroy it. If I destroy the family, if I destroy you at work, what power do you have to come and preach Jesus? How can you come into this place and tell me anything, because I know what your family life's like? I know how you treat your kids, so why are you coming in here? The church falls. If I can destroy those three relationships, the church will fall. So the devil is ready. He's ready. He has a hierarchy. And this battle that we're taking place is in heavenly places. Remember, chapter 1, he said, blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ and with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Like Eric was saying, we have to get our minds off of what we see, what we touch. We have to get our minds into the spiritual, into eternity, because that's where it counts. All of this is going to fade away. All of this is going to end. And sadly, Sarah Bell had this happen to her not too long ago, and I'm sure you've all had it too. Sarah Bell has a little pink camera. I'm sure some of you have seen it. She runs around and takes pictures all the time with this thing. She got it out yesterday, and she was playing with it and taking pictures, and then all of a sudden she comes in very sad. She wanted to get rid of one picture, but she was in a hurry hitting her buttons. Instead of one picture, she got rid of them all. She lost all those pictures from Christmas and all of these different things. They're gone. They're wiped out. How many times have you lost pictures on your phone because, like my phone one time, it decided to go swimming and there go all the pictures? I don't know why it wanted to go swimming, but it wanted to go swimming. It went, and there it goes. They're all gone. And if we think about it on a more personal level, how many times do we go to a family get-together and there's that one person that's not there anymore? Because they've passed away. We can't. It's gone. They're gone. So we have to get our mind off of what we see. We have to get our mind off the physical and get into eternity. Because it's going to last there forever. And when we get into eternity, we see the battle that's taking place. And we have to put on that armor. We have to be ready. It says, put on the full armor of God. Verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes on your feet, having on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We've got to put on the full armor. Why is this important? As I was looking for sermon illustrations, I came across this illustration. And oh my goodness, it's a little thick there. The illustration puts it this way. A Denver newspaper recently reported that a 26-year-old man was stabbed to death when he put on a bulletproof vest and his uncle plunged a knife into his chest to test the body armor. The protective vest failed to withstand the blade of the knife. If we don't put on the armor, the full armor of God, something's going to get hit. And it could be a vital organ. You see, Bubba, as he's gotten older, he wants a toolkit. And so we got him a few tools, and this year we got him a bigger bag to fit his tools in. And he's running all over the place hammering and sawing, and he wanted a drill. We were talking about my drill this morning. He's like, I want a drill. And I'm like, not yet. A little too early for the drill. But he wants all of these tools. And he'll come. We're trying to build, what is this, week three or four now? We're still trying to build this playground outside. We're getting there. Bubba comes at it with a screwdriver when we need a hammer. If you don't have the right tool for the job, you're not going to get anywhere. So if you have the full armor of God on, you've got the right tool for the job. You don't have to worry and scramble and, oh, what do I need? You've got it because it's all on. So we have to have the full armor of God. We have to be completely clothed in His armor. But what does this armor look like? Bubba was nice enough to let me borrow his armor. And he was sad when I walked out with it. It's still here, Bubby. We have to put on the belt of truth. Now, when Paul is talking about this armor, I know a lot of times we see a medieval knight. But Paul wasn't looking at one of those. He was looking at a Roman soldier. And so he sees this belt. And a Roman soldier, they, as we've talked about before, they had a skirt kind of thing on. And so they had this belt that went around it. This belt wasn't simply to hold the skirt up, because that would be embarrassing in its own. But this belt was, as we talked in Peter, to gird up. They'd grab their skirt and they would pull it and they would tuck it into this belt so that they could fight, so that their legs would be free to move. This is the belt of truth. This belt is to put all the spiritual loose ends under truth. Spiritual loose ends are those things that aren't foundational, like Jesus dying on the cross is foundational. Things that we have questions of. What exactly does this mean? I know it's true, and I know the Bible says it, but what does it mean? We put it under truth. We have victory in truth. We self-discipline with this belt. We put it under truth. Truth is what it holds all rest of the armor together. It's the foundation of who we are. He moves on to verse 14, and he talks about the breastplate. This is close to being a Roman type breastplate. What is this breastplate going to protect? My heart and other vital organs. It's not going to protect my belly. It's a little big, but I can go like this maybe. But it's going to protect my vital organs. What is the number one scripture in Deuteronomy say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You see, a believer, when they fully serve Jesus in obedience, it's this breastplate. Because I'm serving God with all my heart. I'm not going to give in to what you're saying because my heart is for Jesus. I don't need to be swayed by these things. No matter how good it looks, I don't need to be swayed. My heart belongs to Jesus. It's protected. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. If your heart's not protected, if your heart's not for Jesus, all kinds of things can come out. And when all kinds of things come out, is God being glorified? We have to protect our heart with this breastplate. We've got to keep that safe because we can't worship God with something that's disgusting and nasty. God redeemed it. God washed it. God took a heart of stone and made it a heart of flesh and He hid it behind a breastplate and said, protect it. So we put on the breastplate of righteousness. He further goes on, and this doesn't do it justice, but then we put on the sandals of peace. These are more shin guards than they are sandals. And here's something that I didn't know, and I don't know if you knew it or not, but a Roman soldier, they wore like sandals. So in those sandals, they would take nails and they would drive nails out their sandals. Kind of like the shoes that Randy had on with the ice. So when they are in battle, they would lock their feet down. Those nails would go in the ground. And no matter how big that enemy was, no matter how hard that enemy pushed, they had traction and they could force their way forward because nothing was moving them. They were locked into the ground. Paul says, put on the shoes of peace. Because the good news is what makes Christ, it makes it possible for us to move forward. That good news is we're in with peace with Jesus. God made us available to go to God. Jesus said, I've paid that price. He has a right to come in. You don't have to be afraid. So we can walk. I'm not condemned. I am not giving in to you. There is no condemnation, devil. I'm moving forward. I am free. I am forgiven. And I have the gospel, and the gospel saved me, and I want the gospel to have you. So we have the gospel of peace on our shoes, that peace that God doesn't hate me anymore, that He loves me, that He calls me His son. And I'm bringing that to you. The next part that we take up in verse 16 is the shield. And this is not a, this is a little one, but the original language, this shield is 2.5 by 4.5 feet. Big, which would pretty much cover me because I'm short. Even when I'm not standing in a hole, I'm short. But it would cover me. If you've ever seen that movie 300, I think it's 300, they will lock. What they do is they lock like this, and then they have others, and when arrows, they do this. So they got a guy here and a guy here, and they make this thing that no arrows can get in. That's what the Romans did. They had these shields that were bigger than they were so that nothing could get past them. This is the shield of faith. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things unseen. It's simply trust. I'm trusting this piece of metal to keep that arrow, that sword, from coming at me. So I'm trusting that Jesus did what Jesus said He did. I'm trusting that Jesus is who He says He is. I'm trusting that I am forgiven, that I am free. So when the devil shoots a fiery dart at me to say, look at you, you're nothing but a hypocrite. Who do you think you are? You really want to go there? You know what could happen if you go there. We can say, no, you know what? This is what God's Word says, no, and we reflect. Just look at Jesus. This is how brazen the devil is. Look at Jesus. The devil came and said, you're hungry. Turn it into bread. Jesus put up that faith shield and said, no, man doesn't live by bread alone. He took him to the top and said, jump. Hey, you know, you wanted to put scripture in me. Here's some for you. Doesn't the Bible say that you're
heel's not going to be hurt. The angels are going to protect you. It says that, what is that, Psalms 91, I think that's what it is. Right? Come on, Jesus, that you wrote the book. Jump. Jesus, put that shield up. You won't test it. Do not test the Lord your God. We have to be ready. We have to set trust in God's word, and we have to be able to defend ourselves. Because what is the devil's biggest strategy? He's not gonna flaunt big things in front of you. He's gonna give you two questions. And if your faith isn't strong, if you don't know what God's word says, and you don't know, and you're like, okay, Tim, I've been struggling with this, and I can't figure it out. Can you help me? And Tim and I work on it together, and then we get it. If we don't do those things, here's the two questions you're always going to get in everything. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? Because he asked Jesus that when he says, turn it into bread and throw yourself off. Did God really say that? He asks Jesus that. Did God really say that you wouldn't die? Did he really say it? And then what he's going to do, the next question is more of a statement. He really didn't mean it that way. This is what you misunderstood. You misunderstood. Here's what he really meant. And we get fear. We get doubt in our heads. And we question. And then when we question, what do we do with the rest of our armor? We drop it. And we go, wait, maybe the Bible's not as true as it maybe is Jesus. And we get lost. And then we get defeated. We have to have that shield up and ready. To say, no, that's not what it says. And you know what? I'm questioning, I'm thinking it, so I'm going to go to somebody who's wiser than me, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure it out with them together. And I lost my, hopefully you've... The next thing that he grabs is the helmet. And this helmet only fits Jovi Lynn's head. She's the smallest head of us all. But is the helmet. What does the helmet protect? Your head, your brain. See, when you go to battle, you're not going to try to stab a heart. You're not going to cut off a leg or an arm. You're going to go for the head. You get rid of the head, you've won. There's nothing else the body's going to do. Unless they're a chicken and then they run around for a few minutes without their heads. But they're going down. So you have to protect the head. And see, when you protect the head, you get doubts, you get discouragements in your head. The devil wants you to doubt. He wants you to question. Because if I can win, and this is the whole theological apologetics argument, if I can get in your head, I've won. Of course, we learned from tactics that we don't want to get in their head, we want to get in their shoe. We want to put a pebble in their shoe and make them question. So that annoying little question that they can't seem to get rid of. So they go and seek out the Lord. If I get in your mind, I've won the battle. The devil wants to get in our mind because what is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and then soul. So if I can get in your mind, I've won. So we have to put this on. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every morning, we have to wake up and we have to get in God's Word. At 10 o'clock, after we get up at 6 o'clock, we got to get in God's Word. We've got to put on some preaching. We've got to put on some spiritual music. We got to have a spiritual conversation. At 11 o'clock, we got to do it all over again. At 12 o'clock, we got to do it all over again. All day long, we've got to be renewing, sticking it in, putting this helmet, make sure this helmet's on. Because as soon as we stop, we lose focus. We lose sight. It's like that runner we talked about when we talked about Bob's granddaughter. She was running the race, eyes on the prize. Then she looked back and her friend was a couple of miles behind, so she stopped. Eyes came off the prize. If we don't renew our mind, our eyes get off of the prize. And the devil's nailed us right in the head. And we've lost. The next weapon, and we look at this and we say that this is the final weapon, but it's not, is the sword of the Spirit. Unfortunately, they lost the sword that went with this one, but we have Bible Man sword. If you know anything about Bible Man, this is a good sword to have. This is probably about the size of a Roman sword. If I'm fighting with this sword, what do I have to do to win? I got to get pretty daggone close to win, because this is a pretty short sword. So the rest of that armor better be well on, because I've got to get close to you, which means your weapon is going to get close to me. This is the only weapon that we really have that is offensive. The rest of them are defensive parts of our body. They protect different things, but this weapon is also offensive. You see, it's defensive because it's going to defend against the enemy's attack. But it's offensive because we can strike back on the enemy. We can take his strategies down, just like Jesus did. Jesus went and he's like, nope, that's not what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. He struck back. But notice what he struck back with. He didn't strike back with his own intelligence. He didn't strike back with his own cunningness. He struck back with the Word of God. This is been called the Word of God. We've got to use this. This is what God says. It's His words, not mine. And we strike back. But who do we strike back with? Who do we defend with? It goes back to the beginning. Remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. So in other words, when we encounter a situation with someone, whether husband, wife, whether it's child, parent, whether it's slave, master, whatever the situation is, we don't come back with, yeah, okay, well, here's what the Bible says. We stop and we go and we use the final weapon. We let them have their say. We let them have their moment. And then we step back, because the battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness. And you just caught me off guard, and I'm not ready for you right now. So I'm going to step back, and I'm going to use this final weapon. The final weapon is praying at all times. Not praying when you're in battle, not praying before you go into battle. Pray at all times. If when we look through the book of Joshua, when did Joshua succeed? He'd get his orders. He succeeded when the next morning he got up early. When he got up early, when he went to the throne, he went to battle, he succeeded. Paul is saying, pray at all times. I got to step away. And we go and we pray. And we say, God, I they're making me mad right now, and I just want to have my say. And I can have my say with your word. And I can prove that I'm right, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness. And I need you to intervene here. Help this situation, please. Just help me. We go and we pray. When an officer is in battle, what is the number one security that they have when soldiers are in battle? It's not their gun. It's not really the man beside them. Do you know what it is? It's that one brave soldier who has this giant bullseye on their back. The radio man. Because the radio man is in contact with headquarters. The radio man can get you air support. The radio man can get you out. So the radio man is your life link. You protect the radio man. Our radio man is on our knees in prayer. Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may have success wherever you go. He's saying, stay in my word. Stay with me. Because I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you how to move. I'm going to tell you how to react, but you have to stay with me. And the only way that we stay with Him is through prayer. When we're praying, things happen, because we're not doing anything. It's God. It's all God. So our final and best weapon is prayer. It's our radio man. We have to protect the radio man. Paul ends this letter with this armor, because he wants us to remember that we are the body of Christ. See, we have learned that we are chosen of God. In spite of where we came from, God predestined us to be the church. We learned that because we are chosen, that we are adopted, that we have been legally purchased, that we are no longer children of wrath, sons of disobedience, but we are now sons and daughters of Jesus, of God, heirs with Christ, that we are His chosen people, we are His body. And that's a mystery that has been waiting to be revealed. all through the Old Testament, it all came up to the point of Jesus. And Jesus revealed that I'm not here just for the Jewish people. I'm here for the world. And I want all. I came to rescue my creation, my people, and I'm going to make them my body. As John 3:16 clearly tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And because we are His body, we are able to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, walking in humility, patience, unity, showing love to the outside world. And we are to do this first with our families. And families, I mean those three things: husband, wife, parent, child, your relationships with your employees or wherever you fall in that work category. And finally, we are to put on the whole armor of God, remembering that our battle is not spiritual, is spiritual, not physical. And we are to fight for those who God has entrusted to us. If you remember last week's illustration, those two boats, they took a race. One burned their cargo to win the race, and they won the race, but they lost their cargo. We have been entrusted with cargo. Husbands have been entrusted with families, wives, children. You've been entrusted with cargo in your jobs, and we are to get that cargo to its one place. Here, we are entrusted as family with brothers and sisters. This is what it means to be the church. We are the church. So now let us go out and share the gospel as we put on our armor and we lock our feet down and move forward. Let's pray. Lord, we give You praise. We give You glory for who You are. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that we can study it, Lord, that we can look to You. Help us to be strong, be courageous. Help us to look to You, putting on that full armor of God every day. Help us to lift each other up, encourage each other, protect each other. Lord, we praise You, we give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It was a very good sermon. Very fitting. I've got to say a few words about, it's invitation time. I'm going to say a few words about what time of year it is. It's that we don't forget. It's a time that we remember those people who have given up their lives that we may have our freedom. And I think this year we really need to thank these people because we can see these freedoms being challenged. And this is a war, and it's a physical war, but it's also the war Jeremy talked about. We're dealing with evil people who the devil is in control of. You know, what gives a man or a woman the strength to die for their freedom? Can you imagine being on the storming the beach in Normandy and watching your comrades be cut down all around you, and have to push through the blood and the gore and keep pushing as bullets are flying around you? Why are you doing this? You're doing it for freedom. You're doing it because you're fighting the forces of evil. That's what they did it for. They did it because you're better off to be dead if you're not free. Freedom is worth more than life. Jesus proved this on the cross. He gave His life for our freedom. And it's closely connected to the freedoms we have in this country. There are God-given rights. Jesus died for them, and we need to protect them with our lives if we have to. I hope it don't come to this. I pray it don't come to this, but I'm ready if it does. I will gladly give my life for the freedoms we have in this country. So please don't forget, and take some time to get down on your knees and thank the thousands of people that gave it all, that we can be here today, that we can freely talk about the God who saved us, the God who gave His life on that cross that we may live. If you don't know about Jesus, now is the time to learn more about Him. Now is the time to come forward. Now is the time to receive the free gift of salvation. Jesus went to that cross for each and every one of us. It don't matter how big a sinner you are or how good a person you are. You still need Jesus. And He's there to save every one of us. He died for every one of us. And we ask now, we're going to sing a song of invitation. We're going to stand up and sing a song of invitation. If you need Jesus, please come forward. Sing our closing song. Jeremy has an announcement he wants to make, so please, everybody, kind of sit there and wait for it.